I never told anybody. 25 years. A film of talent stood behind this pulpit several years ago. He gave me a plaque as having the world's largest Sunday school. When it was all over, I rushed to my office and fell on my face. And I said, Daddy, I did what you said. But there's something you don't necessarily get at salvation that God gives you with which to preach the gospel in the power and the fullness. And I'm not talking about a bunch of city wildfire. I'm not talking about Pat Boone going to a nightclub and singing on Saturday night and talking about his charismatic experience on Sunday morning. I don't want anything like that.
And now, great sermons from Fundamentalism. In that first quote that you heard from Jack Hiles, which is really amazing, he comments that he never told anybody, although he's telling about 12,000 people right there about how his father mistreated him when he said he wanted to be a preacher, and his dad, after beating him up, told him he better go out and be the best preacher ever. And we have Jack Hiles' statement that, yes, Daddy, praying to his father, yes, Dad, I did what you told me. That is one example from this sermon, Fresh Oil, of really the horrible content of this sermon, the absolute unbiblical content. In the sermon, he really preaches about himself, the limitations he faced, how he overcame them, and he creates this ethos from the sermon, from all the examples he uses of himself, of saying that you have to work really hard, you have to suffer, and if you're willing to suffer enough, if you're, quote, willing to pay the price, then you get this rush of power or this endowment of power that he calls being anointed with fresh oil. But what he's talking about does not have anything to do with what the Bible is talking about. And then the second statement, which really makes up probably the last third of the sermon's major point, that you have to suffer, you have to pay the price, you have to struggle in order to get the Holy Spirit. And as I've observed before, if a Pentecostal got up and said that in a fundamentalist church, we would all know he was wrong. That is simply called the second blessing. It is a belief that is characteristic of Pentecostalism and charismaticism. It is a belief that Christian fundamentalism rejects as being unbiblical. There is really no biblical justification for the idea of a second blessing. And that is what Jack Hiles is teaching in this sermon. But let's go back to the text that were quoted in the first installment of this sermon critique and take another look at what the Bible is saying about fresh oil. Now, the second time that David was anointed, we don't see him getting this renewed power of God. He gets anointed, but there is no second blessing that comes to him there. The particular verse that Hiles cites shows that the men of Judah, which is one of the 12 tribes, arguably the most important tribe, acted on their own authority after the death of Saul and anointed David king over their tribe, but not over all of Israel. Other commenters note that David had enough military might that he could gather at this point to conquer the entire kingdom. If he'd acted quickly, he could have prevailed. But we see in these passages that David is more content to let the other side gather together. They mount their attack, and he lets them be the aggressors. Because by this time in his life, after having experienced the grace of God and seeing how the Lord has fulfilled his promises, David recognizes that he must allow the Lord to work things to his advantage. So even though strategically the time was right for him to seize power, he didn't become the aggressor. He didn't retreat from war. He let his generals fight the war. But he shows this remarkable restraint, and he really doesn't want to kill the people that God had ordained would become his subjects. And so he shows a lot of forbearance and restraint. Now, the final passage that is cited for this sermon in Psalm 92, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. This psalm is a prayer of praise. It's a prayer of the Sabbath. The verses in the psalm alternate between the happy lot of the righteous and the certain doom of the wicked, even saying by faith that God allows the wicked to flourish only so that they may be destroyed forever. And all these things lead to the conclusion in the final verse to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The psalm taken as a whole praises God for the way he deals with the wicked and the way he deals with the justified, for his dealings show that he is the rock to his people and he is righteous in everything he does. Verse 10, which is the verse that Hiles has chosen, is only one part of this whole. And in context, it is pointing to God as the faithful deliverer of his people. It is not pointing to any type of great ordination of power or second blessing of power that Christians get because we're willing to pay the price. Commenters agree that the concept of fresh oil can be a pointer to David's confidence that God will confirm him in his royal office as king. The anointing does have to do with being put into office, but it's also a sign of wealth. It's a sign of being cared for. It's a sign of continually receiving the blessings of God. A full horn is the sign of abundance, and the verse can be taken to mean that God will rescue his people from famine. When the storehouse has many horns filled with oil, capped and sealed, then the harvest has been abundant. Then we've got enough oil that we can be anointed with it, refreshed with this oil. Oil was poured into wounds, rubbed into the sick, rubbed onto babies. These are all forms of anointing and used in numerous ways to comfort, to relieve, to heal, to protect. So the hope for anyone to be anointed with fresh oil means a hope that God will provide for his own in a time of famine and trouble. Truly, we can see from the verse that God sets up his choice as king, but we also see that he gives his people consolation and comfort. Some commentators say that David is expressly talking about old age. In his old age, God will strengthen him and keep him in his office. And David's hope was not in vain. Even after David sinned horribly, the Lord confirmed him in his office and preserved his life to old age.